Let us pray. For this day, dear Lord, today, right now, we give you thanks that we were able to wake up and hop in our car and come to church and enter this beautiful space where we can hear about your love. When we can see people who love us and who we love and just feel welcome, dear Lord. May we never take that gift for granted. For the joy that this day brings and for the challenge that it brings. Be with us. Be with us as we're making decisions about what to say and do, dear Lord. Guide us in this life. We keep trying, we mess up, we try again. Thank you for loving us through it all. For spring, for the hope of the green grasses and the flowers and the trees and the joy that we know that is to come. May we think on your kingdom in that way. As spring grasses and flowers and joy that is to come, as we muddle through the muck of winter. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So is anybody wondering about the pig pods thing? Pig pods. I usually try to like grab a piece of the scripture and have that be the title. But the thing that happened was, every Friday night throughout the months of January and February, all your youth staff and pastors head south to the retreat center in Farmington on a big yellow bus, and we have a retreat with the seventh grade confirmation students. And it is a blast. It's the first time that the confirmation kids, a lot of them, get to kind of go out and be Christians on their own and not just coming to church with their parents, getting dropped off by their parents, picked up by their parents. It's kind of their first chance to like be themselves in a safe, wonderful church setting. And so they're all excited. They pack their bags. We get on the bus. We head out there. And it is so much fun to watch them. We do everything from having ping pong and jacuzzi and swimming and running around and playing to having wonderful worship services. For a lot of the students, it's the first time they receive communion. We have sacred ground. For many, it's the first time that they're able to talk about their faith, to spend time with counselors, and just be together in being these little budding Christians. Well, one of the things that we do on this night, the parable that we make a point of telling, because we feel like it's the most important in stepping stone in your faith, is the parable of the prodigal son. And so I'm trying to figure out, I know some of you guys have been on that retreat, but it's complete. When we do this skit, we put it in modern day times, and it's complete with pig sounds and plastic pig noses, and it's just a gas to watch, and our high school volunteers put this skit on. So after learning all about the prodigal son, it was the following morning, Saturday morning, and we're sitting at breakfast, and I said to the group of seventh grade boys that I was sitting with, because I just love seventh grade boys, and I was like, so you guys, I have to name a sermon about this parable. I'm preaching on it in a couple of weeks. What do you think I should name it? And they're all kind of looking at me like, is she serious? And so I said, I was thinking like, you know, welcome home, or lost and found, or tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, or something like that. And they're like, no, that sounds totally boring. And they're like, and then one kid, which you got only a seventh grade boy would say this, he's like, I dare you to call it pig pods. Never being one to turn down a dare, I'm like, pig pods it is. So picture this. Jesus is sitting on a hillside, like the one right out here, hopefully a little less muddy. And people are coming and gathering around to watch him and to listen to him and to learn from him. Because you remember back then, people didn't know, what does it mean exactly to be a Christian? Like, what do I have to do to be a Christian? What does being a Christian look like? Like, how does it affect my everyday life? So they're all gathered around, and they're listening to Jesus tell parables or stories. They're sharing bread, and they're sharing wine. And the unusual thing about that is that those who went to listen to the stories, to the parables, were not scholars, and they were not leaders. They were sinners. They were tax collectors. They were people who felt like they wanted a better life. They wanted to be happier. They wanted to know, what did this man have to offer, and could I get some of it? So while Jesus is there, while he is talking and sharing parables about how to live like a Christian, the powers that be, the movers and shakers, the ones that felt that they didn't need any forgiveness because they had already made it to where they wanted to be, the Pharisees and the scribes sat off to the side, judging and mumbling and grumbling. Who is this man, we read? The fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Ha! Huh. So Jesus tells them a parable. At the retreat, we said it in modern day times. It's a little more interesting and more fun for the kids to listen to. So in the skit with the pig noses and the grunting sounds, a young man tells his dad, "This whole college and work thing is bringing me down. It is boring. I can't take it anymore. There's a whole wide world out there. I've got to go see it now. Just give me my share of my future inheritance, Dad, so I can get the heck out of Dodge." Well, for some reason, the dad, maybe he's tired of the whining, maybe he's a free spirit himself, maybe he wants to teach him a lesson, maybe he trusts his son. We don't know because it doesn't say. But for whatever the reason, the father does exactly that. He takes his estate, he divides it in two, and he gives half of his estate to the son. So the son grabs the money and runs. He meets a slick guy named Fast Willie. Fast Willie sells him a cherry red Porsche. Joe hands over the cash, grabs the keys, hops in the car, and speeds off, all smiles. But soon enough, the thrill is gone. So he goes back to see Fast Willie again. "Fast Willie, I need some new friends. Mine are all working and studying. They are no fun. They won't play with me." And so Fast Willie sets him up with the sweet pad on Lake Minnetonka. Joe hands over his cash, hosts a huge weekly party attended by all these people, most of whom he doesn't know. It's all fun, fun, fun. And then lonely, lonely, lonely. Fast Willie sets him up with a new girlfriend, a new Rolex, and a gold Amex. But soon the money is gone, and then the friends are gone, and Fast Willie is gone too, moving on to a new customer. Joe is crushed. He tries to find a job, but with no address, no skills, no education, he's stuck feeding the pigs. Tired and hungry, he pleads with his boss to have even a few of those pods for the pigs so that he can eat them because he's dying of hunger. But he says no. Joe finally realizes that he's blown it big time and decides to muster the courage to apologize. So he sets off to his father, head down, practicing his words. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be your son." And while he is practicing these difficult to speak words, he looks up and he sees his father running towards him, which men did not do at that time. His father throws his arms around him and kisses him and says, "Son, welcome home. You are home." And then he turns to his family and says, "We're going to celebrate, for this son of mine was dead but is alive again. He was lost and he is now found." Now that is God's love. Agape love, supersized love, grace-filled love. For me, it would have been more like, okay, but we're setting up a payment plan. Here's a new set of rules. They would get lectures every day until I got sick of giving them. Or I might just take the easy way out and give them the silent treatment. Much worse. Not God. Which is exactly why Jesus tells us this parable. The story continues with the older brother, and in the skit, we made it a sister and named her Sissy. Sissy was mad. She was really mad. "Dad, are you kidding me now? Here I've been all these years studying and working hard and saving my money and caring for you and doing the right thing, and he gets a party? What's up with that? I'm mad. It's not fair." And her father replies, "Sissy, you are always with me. All that I have is yours and you are mine. But Joel's hurting and he's lonely and he had the courage to apologize. He came home. We're going to celebrate and rejoice." Oh, I just love this story. When you read it, what do you hear? God's living word is like a mood ring. Does anyone remember mood rings? Oh, good. The Bible, try this. Open it up, let your eyes fall upon whatever story it may be, and read it. And you will feel God's nourishing, soothing, holy word reaching you and telling you what to do. And you can open up to that same story 6 months later, and you will hear something different, depending on your circumstances, because God speaks to us through that living word. Think on this parable for a moment. Where are you today in that story? It will change depending on what's going on in your life, but today, where are you in that story? Do you feel the fear of the son who has done wrong, dreading the idea of acknowledging what he has done and actually asking for forgiveness? Ooh, that's hard. It's so much easier to ignore the elephant in the room than to apologize. But if you don't apologize, it will wear on your heart and on your relationship like years of water running over rock. It will hurt you. It will hurt them. Do you feel like the snarky Pharisee judging people throughout your day, placing them into one of two categories? I like them. I don't like them. I like them. I do not like them. It's so much easier to like. Or do you try and eat lunch with the people that you know others think are kind of strange or kind of crabby or kind of C-squad, just like Jesus did? Like the older brother or sister Sissy, do you feel indignant and confused at being unfairly treated, even though you're working so hard and giving your all? Do all of a sudden you feel like you're being cast aside at work or at home or from the team and trying with all your might to stay positive and optimistic? Or like the father, do you feel the physical longing for reconciliation with someone you love who, for whatever reason, has slipped away? Jesus knew we'd feel that way and told this story to help us. How awesome is that? And here is the good news. As you heard Pastor Callan read from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, these words, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them." God does not count our sins. God never has, and God never will. We are beloved, forgiven, children of God. So think on this week. Wherever you are at, whatever life is handing you, whatever you are handing yourself, whether we're feeling like the judgy Pharisee, the indignant, hard-working sibling, or the grown-up kid who blew it and needs to apologize, it's okay. God knows this about you, and God loves you anyway. Say you're sorry. You'll be so glad you did. Reach out to the one who's feeling estranged. Let them know you love them. And on the days when we're doing the right thing, like the son having the courage to apologize, or like Jesus including the outsider, give thanks that God first loved us. Pig pods? Oh yeah. Amen.